You are amazing, Ella. We love you to pieces. So I just want to start with that. You are so good.
Thank you.
So good. You're on like another level. I've listened to as much of the album as you have released and has allowed everyone to listen to. You're going for like less collabs, more solo stuff. The album's coming out on the 21st of November. How are you doing? How are you feeling? What's happening? Give us a catch up.
Oh my word. Yeah, it's very surreal, especially because it's been 10 years since my first album.
Yes.
What the process is like, and it's a very different process to the one that I'm used to as well. I'm grateful to be back. I'm grateful for the reception so far. And it is really exciting to be independent and doing it on my own terms and being able to share my voice with people in a way that feels authentic to me. And I'm loving the response. It's amazing.
Oh, we're so happy. Honestly, we played your track, Hell Yeah, for the first time maybe last week, 2 weeks ago. Yeah. And I was sitting here in the studio like, this is amazing. Like, this is what we wanted. Because, I mean, you're stacked with bangers when you are like the queen of summer anthems. So how did it come about? How did going independent kind of come into your brain? What was the thought process? Because as you say, it's been 10 years since Feline, and yes. Now we're here and we are completely somewhere else in brand new space. What's happened?
Well, I mean, what happened is Feline came out 10 years ago. I did a lot of collabs, dance collabs in particular, with like Sagala and Rudimental and other artists as well. And I think what happened really is that when I first started releasing music, streaming was very, very new. And so the major labels that I was signed to weren't really interested in doing projects, you know, bodies of work anymore, because the way that people were digesting music was changing. But it kind of came about in 2020 when I had vocal surgery. I wasn't able to speak for a month, and then I was doing rehab for 6 months. And so it was when my voice essentially got taken away from me and I had a really big lesson learned. But I was like, if I'm ever going to be on a stage again, if I'm ever going to sing, I want it to be on my terms. I want to be making music that I love. And I don't want to be dictated to by major labels' systems. So I went at it alone, and this is my best attempt.
Wow. I didn't know you had vocal surgery. I knew that Jess Glynn had vocal surgery in her career. I didn't know that you had vocal surgery. What?
Yeah. Well, when I first came about, it was quite a taboo subject, but actually you'll find that a lot of commercial artists have had vocal issues and vocal surgeries. And back in the day, you wouldn't talk about it because you'd be worried about promoters not booking you because you're not reliable. But I think it's a very difficult space to be in, to not be honest about what you're going through and experiencing. And I have a naturally husky voice. It's naturally unique. And unfortunately, that does come with its challenges. But it's also a blessing at the same time. So I feel like it was a blessing and a curse, because I learned a lot. I've got an amazing team around me now to make sure that I'm able to do my shows effectively. Mm. And now I feel like happier for it.
That's good to hear. Was there like, I'm very intrigued as to, was there like the rehab for your voice? Did you have to do anything specific?
Well, like after the surgery, I wasn't allowed to speak for an entire month. And then...
How was that? Which it sounds amazing to really...
Impossible. No, especially not for me. I'm a talker. And also, you know, you're in your head for a month. You know, you can't communicate. You also can't cry. You can't laugh, because those things are also very detrimental to your voice. So
cry? What do you mean? You can't, how does that connect to that?
Well, because particularly when you cry, you're tense here in your throat. And so that doesn't allow for recovery.
Right.
So you basically have to sit tight for a month. And then after that, for the first week, after the first month, I was only allowed to do my exercises for 1 minute every hour. And then the second week, it was 1 minute every two minutes every 1 hour, you know? So it was very incremental. It was very laborious, mentally very challenging. But like I said, I learned a lot of strength and a lot of patience as well. And that's kind of ties into what my album's about, Everything in Time. You know, it was a hard thing to do, and not just my vocal surgery, but to make an album after 10 years. Everything that's good, that's worth happening, will come in its own time. And it's about finding peace in that process and enjoying that, accepting that.
It is a very beautiful album title. I do like the comma after Everything in Time. I thought that was very well put. Almost like a pause between everything that you want, then in time. And there are actually almost like half the album is released. You can listen to it. It's from singles and little EPs that you've put out before. But there are 7 tracks that we are waiting for. I'm guessing we're waiting for the 21st November to hear the rest of the album. Is that right? Is there any mini drops happening?
There might be one more happening this week. Yeah, okay. So there's one more drop happening before the album, and I am really excited for that song, but also for the rest of the album, because I think particularly I did these silent disco shows, well, not shows, they were more like activations where I went around Manchester, London, Bristol and Birmingham, where I played my album in full to 50 fans through a silent disco headset, and then I had my little Britney mic and I was talking through the phone. And so I'm excited for the album to be released, because there's a lot of music that some people have heard now that isn't out, and they're desperate for. So I can't wait for that moment.
So for us who haven't heard, because that sounds like the best way to hear an album, and next time you do that anywhere near Kent, I'm so in for that. Yeah. I was wondering if we could go through the seven that are unreleased, and you just give maybe one sentence or a short little snippet of where it came from, what it's about, just so we can properly tease everybody listening. Everything in Time, the opening track, isn't released yet.
Yes.
How would you sum up that?
I would sum up that song as it's the center track of the album for me. You know, actually the album was called something else for about 2 years.
What was it called?
It was called Exactly As I Am.
Different.
Well, because I felt like when I was making the album, it was about accepting myself and learning to love myself. And I felt like it was a really important thing for me to go through and do. But by the time that I finished the record, I felt like I'd been through that process. And actually, the one thing I'd learned is that I needed to learn patience and peace in the process. And so that's why it got swapped out. I also took that song off the album, so that's another reason why. But it's song one that I will release one day, because it's a really important message. And I love the record. It just didn't quite fit sonically of what was going on.
We'll just put it on the bonus track. Track.
Well, exactly. I performed it live at some of my shows earlier this year, and all the fans love that record. So I do regret not putting it on the album. But if anything, it means that it gives me a reason to buy the deluxe.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. You've got to think about the cash at some point. I've seen a clip of this one on social media. The next track that's unreleased is Diamonds. And you performed it a couple of weeks ago, maybe. And that is a banger. Your voice and that song. Beautiful. Where did that one start?
That one started in a little studio in Acton. But I just love that record. It flowed out of me. I wrote it with one of my favourite writers, Adam Argyle. We just laugh. Like whenever his name appears in my diary for a session, I'm so excited because we have a fantastic time. I also wrote Space with him, and we just write the silliest lyrics and we just have the best time writing it. And for me, Diamonds is my favourite song to sing live because it just sort of flows off the tongue and it's so catchy. So.
It's got a nice like chorus to it as well. The digging deep, that was catchy.
I did a show recently where I actually put Ray's Where Is My Husband in the mid-bait as well, so it works really well together.
Well, there's that little tease for coming to see the live show. I will absolutely be there. The next one, I am going to, for the first time, say a swear word down into a microphone because we're in record mode and it's safe. The next one's called This Hurts, which I will bleep out when it comes to the edit. What hurts? What happened?
The premise of the song is basically when you are no longer in a relationship with somebody, or no longer, you know, friends with somebody, and you can see them moving on with their life, and that they're, you know, they're not losing any sleep, they're not thinking about you anymore, and that hurts, you know,
like
when you realize that, you know, that mistake that you made, or you know, missed that relationship, you know, to recognize that they're not, you know, they're sleeping good, they're feeling fine. It's hard.
Yeah, of course it is. They're such idiots, aren't they? So there's four ones left. We'll go through them nice and quick. Maybe just one word to sum up these four, and then we can move on to something else. What about me?
Oh, what about me? Oh, one word is so difficult. To sum it up, but it's about not people pleasing, and it's about making decisions for yourself and learning to be better at that.
Beautiful message. Little Things?
Little Things is about, I think everyone has a song called Little Things, and I think that's the beautiful thing about...
You just wanted to join the club.
Each artist has a different interpretation of what the little things that are important to them means, and it's a really holistic, beautiful record for me. So it's also one of the more calmer, more relaxed moments in the album.
Oh, lovely. A nice change of pace.
Yeah, exactly that, yeah.
Love a Man?
Love a Man. Oh, it's a big sassy record, but it's also the intro of the song is the first vocal that I ever put down after my vocal surgery.
Wow.
And I never re-recorded it because that moment in time was so important for me, and I love the way that my voice sounded, and it just felt really important to keep that little memory.
Is it for you, is it noticeably different then to now in terms of how you sound?
Yeah, it's crystal clear. It's better than it sounds now, that's for sure.
Really? But that was
my voice for 6 months. So yeah, that's the clearest tone you're ever going to get from me.
That right there is what all that voice rest does. Just,
yeah, yeah.
And then the last one, which is the final track on the album, it's called Rain in Heaven.
Oh, I can't say one word about this
song. Okay, no, go on.
It's
you do whatever you need.
I wrote the song in Jamaica, and I'm half Jamaican, and obviously what's going on in Jamaica right now is heartbreaking, so this song kind of feels even more relevant to me right now. My dad had passed a few years prior to that trip.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Thank you. And it was the first trip back to Jamaica for me since he passed. And when I was there with all my co-writers and producers, every morning we wake up and say, oh, a beautiful day in heaven. What a beautiful another day in heaven. And then one day we woke up and it was teeming it down with rain. And my co-writer said, oh, well, it still rains in heaven. And I think it's a really beautiful message, and particularly what's going on in Jamaica right now. It's a beautiful place. We will rebuild.
Yeah.
The sentiment still remains that it still rains in heaven.
It does. It does. And it's such a lovely message that I think we don't always think about.
Yeah.
Which is a very lovely kind of message to end a beautiful album with as well. 21st of November is going to be a day where I just put on some headphones and it sounds like have a dance, a sing and a cry, which is going to be amazing.
Yeah. Hopefully.
In your track Hell Yeah, which is the single that I believe we're going to play on the show in a couple of weeks when this goes out, you mentioned quarter life crisis. And it stuck with me because I'm 3 weeks away from mine.
Okay.
I know. I am aging. The hair is receding at a rapid rate, right? And I will soon be having a hat much like yours on permanently, just to hide it. You're also 29 plus 2, because we're always 20. And I was wondering if you had any great realisations throughout your quarter life crisis, any changes that you can impart some wisdom onto me, because I am fearing 25 and also 30. Apparently you cry when you turn 30, and I'm not looking forward
25.
To it. 25.
Oh, cry me a river.
I know. It's the card that I've been dealt.
No, I know. You know what? I totally understand that. And I think that my biggest lesson was just really trying to find happiness. Like, I'm all about my baseline happiness being kept at a steady level. And for me, one thing, I actually loved turning 30. I feel like
really?
I was super ready for it. I'd made quite a big decision. I'd been in a long relationship that came to an end, and it was very freeing. I felt more myself than ever. And I think my biggest advice to anybody in that period of their life is to not stay in places that don't feed their soul. You know, it's important to find happiness in yourself and to surround yourself with people that bring out the best in you. So, yeah.
What a lovely message. Thank you so much. I will take that on, and I will try and find happiness also in chocolate. I think chocolate helps. I'm realising that I'm going to throw dieting out of the window at 25.
Where is that? You know, what's that balance?
Yeah, do you know what I mean? Always a good balance. So the last bit of today, and I'm hoping this is going to be quite fun for you. The show that I do is called The Hit List.
Okay.
And we like to dive into your hit list, the songs that make you happy and make you feel good. And there's different categories every single time, just to change it up, and one that stays the exact same. So for you, we'd very much like to know, when you are feeling a little bit emotional, as somebody who has a repertoire of huge dancey summer pop anthems that I know and absolutely love, what is your emotional ballad that maybe you sing in the shower, sing in the car, sing when you get home from work, you've had a rough day? What is the top tier that you're like, that's going to do it?
For me, it's probably I Keep Dancing On My Own by Robin.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, Robin's whole discography is pretty flawless, to be honest, lyrically, melody-wise. But I think what a heartbreaking record in that is, the idea of being in the club, a place that's meant to be freeing and fun, but you're actually so heartbroken that you're just dancing on your own. So yeah, one of those songs that you can just really delve into your sadness.
Yeah, that's quite upbeat as well. That's quite an upbeat sad song. Yeah. I thought you were going to say the Callum Scott version. I was like, yeah, I'm so with you there. Like,
oh, but, I hear it, yeah. No, I love the OGs for me.
And the one that I think will be very beautiful to hear about is, as a herald of summer bangers, what's your summer banger?
Of my own?
One that you love that isn't yours.
Oh, you're going to put me on the spot now.
It's a tough question, considering I feel like you are the queen of sunshine.
That is a really hard question. What did I love?
Because we could list, if we were going to list yours, Deep Down's a banger, Came Here for Love's a banger, Answer Phone's a banger, Just Got Paid's a banger, Waiting All Night's a banger. You can't have any of those as your number one. Like they're on a separate list. They're all mine, but you can't have them. That is cheating.
Oh my God, you're really putting me in.
Are you telling me that it gets to summer and you put on yourself?
You know what? My summer playlist is quite obscure. I really
is
love
it.
I love a genre of music called Amapiano, which is like a deep South African house. There's an artist called Scott Mafuma that I'm a really big fan of. Yebo, for example. So I could list that, but I don't think anybody or any of the listeners
would do that. That is absolutely yours to list, because we're all about discovering music on the show and brand new songs. And we've been introduced to more like Afrobeat this year. So and everyone's on board. So I'm hoping that somebody can get on board with that. Who was the artist again?
Scott Mafuma. But also, speaking of Afrobeats, I love Omalay.
Yes,
he's done a song with Tyler. I love Tyler.
Tyler's amazing.
A lot of Amapiano as well, in a more commercial sense. So she's like the gateway into the Amapiano world.
Absolutely. There we go. And then the last one. It's at 9 o'clock. We have just a segment of the show that is dedicated to our, we call them the night timers. So if you're up and you're working, you might, do you consider yourself to be a night timer or are you a day timer?
Kind of an early bird, I can't lie.
A bit of an early bird?
Yeah.
Fair enough. We have a group of people that get in touch every single night for a shout out, and they declare their estimated time to bed, which I think is important for a night timer, their nighttime task in Kent. But we dedicate old school anthems to them.
Okay.
And every time that we get somebody on the show, we ask them to pick their favourite old school anthem so we can shove it in the mix at 9 o'clock, and then you can dedicate it to our nighttime force across Kent. And we ask you your favourite old school anthem, and then no pressure, but on the spot, the music man is here. And he nods to say, yes, we will play it. And he also goes a little no to go, it's not good enough.
Okay. Old school banger, I'm going to say, does it have to be like in the dance world, or is it just in general?
Whatever you fancy. You can be completely honest to what you want, Ella. Completely honest.
Okay. Well, I personally am a big fan of Outkast.
Yes.
So I love Hey Ya.
We get one of them. Yeah. We get one of them. We'll get it on at 9 o'clock. Okay. Ella, you are amazing, and I've been so excited to talk to you. Honestly, and it's so good to hear your solo music. Is there anything else that I potentially have missed that you would like to mention while you're on the show with us right now?
Just that I'm going on a mini tour after my album drops, and doing 4 very intimate candlelight shows. So they're going to these big, beautiful cathedrals surrounded in thousands of candlelight. I'm going to be with my full band, but we're doing it acoustically, and it's, you know, just before Christmas, early December. And we're going to London, Edinburgh, Liverpool, and Manchester.
That sounds incredible. What a great Christmas gift that would be as well.
The early Christmas gifts.
What dates are the London dates? Because that will be the closest to us in Kent.
6th of December.
6th of December, London dates, Candlelight with Ella Eyre and the brand new album.
Yeah.
That is amazing. Ella, you have been so wonderful. Thank you so much for coming on today. Have an amazing rest of your day. Just got to say, I love your kitchen. That is a great kitchen.
Thank you so much. Appreciate
it. Have a great one, Ella, and chat to you soon.
Yeah, absolutely. Have a beautiful day.
You too. Adios.